Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Well, welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show. I'm so glad that you've been able to join me today. And I'm going to take a little bit of time here and shuffle things up. I'm going to maneuver the discussion point a little bit. Oftentimes, I'm talking about that legacy issue, the Legacy and Faith Show. I'm talking about the legacy issue, about estate planning more often. And we work in scriptural references, and we're talking about how to build an estate plan based upon God's Word. Well, today I'm going to focus more upon that second part of the title of our show, which is faith. And so I want to talk about specifically the parable of the sower and the seed. And this is a very, very near and dear parable to my heart. And so I just wanted to take a time, open up scripture, wanted to talk a little bit about what does it mean to look at our hearts being ready, our hearts being primed to receive God's word, and then not only receive God's word, but bring that word into maturity instead of allowing us just to hear it. Now, I've been following and walking after God for a good 35 years now, which is quite astounding for me because, you know, oftentimes I feel like I'm still in my 40s, but I have crossed over into my 50s. In my 35-year journey with walking with God, you know, for me personally, these past 5 years have really been revolutionary for me. I tell you, you think you start getting used to walking with God, and then all of a sudden, there's a freshness and a newness that he can place upon you. And all of a sudden, God's word becomes alive to you again. That's why it's a breathing and living document that we have, is that by the power of the Holy Spirit in us, he can quicken us and quicken knowledge and revelation that is fresh and new to us again. So I don't know where you're at in your journey with God, but I've just been refreshed over the past 5 years with my journey. And what it's really done is it's begun to free me up to be more of who I am. And so it gives me the opportunity to talk more about his phenomenal grace, his phenomenal love for us. And what does it mean to walk in that love and that journey of love? One of the biggest things that I've ever come to realize about God is that he does not do an action of love. He is love. And that's a radical and different viewpoint that I think we need to make sure we stop and understand, is that he doesn't do acts of love. Now, there's things out in the world psychology of doing random acts of kindness, doing random acts of love. You know, God is not about doing random acts. He is extraordinarily purposeful in building his kingdom and in pursuing mankind. Everything he has ever done is to pursue us. Everything he has ever done is because the core of who he is love. It's not that he acts in love. It is who he is. So his mercy extends because he is radically in love with us. And his mercy extends because he is pursuing us out of a love relationship. This is one of the most critical foundational issues of Christianity alone, which is you are absolutely, undeniably, at all times, radically loved by your Heavenly Father. He has never turned from you. He has never lost hope in you. Rather, he has always been engaged. And maybe this is also a reminder that if you have children out there that are not following after the heartbeat of God, that their love towards the Father has waned, God has not given up on your children. He has not given up on your grandchildren. Rather, he is intimately pursuing them and pursuing them on a regular basis. Why? Because he is radically in love with your children, with your grandchildren, and with you. So maybe there is someone out there today who needs to hear that message and that message alone, which is you are radically loved. And there are numerous promises that our families shall be saved. So do not give up that hope that God is pursuing your family and that he is after them like no one else's business. He does not grow weary. He does not grow tired. He will relentlessly pursue people because he is radically in love with them. And so this has been kind of my experience over the past many years that I am kind of falling in love with Jesus again after 30 years. I don't know about anyone else, but I am excited. When I actually did hit 50, I looked backwards on my life, and in my 40s, I had graduated from law school. I went to law school when I was 38, so this was really a shift in everything that I had done. And then I built a law practice that got on its feet, that that was able to become a little more financially secure. I was finding it was building. I have three attorneys in the office. We have five team members. So we've been very blessed and be able to build something that is very solid and on a really solid foundation. Well, in that experience, then all of a sudden God began to deal with me more and more about opening up his word and saying, okay, this is great that you're an attorney. I called you decisively there. I've given you a skill set to use. However, don't forget your first love. Don't forget your primary purpose, Paul. And my primary purpose, and actually your primary purpose, is to demonstrate and talk about the radical love of our Creator and that he has paid a price. He gave up his only begotten Son and paid the ultimate price to make sure that we have a rescue plan in place. And that rescue plan is to save the person sitting next to you. It is to save and bring into a revelation and knowledge of God himself so that they can begin a journey of walking in this radical love, so that they can be pulled out of the grips of hell, and that their eternal salvation can likewise be placed upon the rock of Jesus Christ. Everything that God has done is to that end. And then once we have that end established, that we have been rescued from the pit of hell, then I believe that he wants to take us to step number two, which is to demonstrate his astounding love and mercy by making sure that we live a life that is to the fullest. He has come to set the captive free. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. Free from what? Free from the grips of this world. Free from the grips of death and hell. Free from the grips of what the enemy desires to do in our lives. And also, he has come to give life and life more abundantly. But we have a journey in this as well. We need to be willing participants in walking through that abundant life that he wants us to live. The abundant life just is not on the other side. It is not just when I die, I get to go to the great by and by. And in that place, everything will be taken care of. Well, that is true. However, we are intended to be filled with the power and majesty of the Holy Spirit to be the feet, to be the light, to be the voice of our Heavenly Father's kingdom here on earth, so that other people can know this radical, brilliant love that our Heavenly Father has. So not only are we to just walk and bask in his love, but we are to then also make sure that we are demonstrating that great majesty through our own lives. Now, that is truly an inheritance, and I talk about leaving an inheritance. Proverbs says that we are to leave an inheritance for our children's children. Now, I believe that it is both in this worldly economy, so actual monetary means, but it is also, and not to downplay or to minimize, that we are to leave a spiritual legacy to our family as well. And so we can have a healthy mix of both of these. But the first revelation is that we must understand and we must grapple and we must have the foundation that we are radically loved. Then from there, we can begin to have an open heart to really experience what God wants to do in our lives for His kingdom. And that brings me all of this as an introduction. How's that for a great introduction? To the parable of the sower and the seed, because this really is something that that I have been studying more and more, and I have watched God open up really what I believe is my own journey, in that it's been founded on this particular scripture. As a matter of fact, Jesus said that this is the most important parable that we need to know. He actually really did. Did you know that? So in Mark, we're in chapter 4 then of Mark, and then we're going to go back and forth between Mark 4 and Luke 8. So we're going to use those two examples of the parable and the seed here in our discussion today. And in Mark 4, verse 13, Jesus said, "Do you not know this parable?" So he had just talked about the parable of the sower and the seed. And then the disciples come to him and say, "Well, we don't understand what's going on with this. Can you help us? Give us some insight." And he says, "You don't know this parable? How then will you know any other parable?" So in other words, Jesus, in my opinion, was saying, if you don't get this one, then every other parable will remain hidden. As a matter of fact, a couple verses before, Jesus said, "Unto you is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God." In other words, the secrets, the mysteries of the kingdom, how the kingdom operates, how God's kingdom actually works when we are here on earth. I understand that oftentimes we want to skip and get out of this world and just concentrate on heaven. But we need to live and understand how does God's kingdom work through me on earth, so that we can be empowered and have influence and effect in this earthly realm. So God made His grand appearance by Jesus. Now He has filled us with the power of His Holy Spirit so that we can be the influence here on earth and rescue as many as possible. Not just rescue, but then free them up to be who they were uniquely created to be. What an exciting thing to actually have the ability to uncap and to have the ability to show somebody else their purpose on this earth. That's exciting stuff, in my opinion. So there is a mystery that needs to be revealed to us, God's people. Now, the mystery was not just Jesus. Otherwise, the Greek word is multiple mysteries. It's not the mystery. So the first mystery was how salvation was to come upon man, and that it wasn't going to be through actions and through law. Rather, it was going to be that cycle was going to be broken, and a new cycle of Jesus Christ revealed through mercy and through grace was going to be revealed. So that is the greatest mystery. However, there are multiple mysteries that need to be revealed to us. And Jesus said, in order to receive and understand how we are to operate in this earthly realm, in the power of the mysteries of God's kingdom, then we got to understand the parable of the sower and the seed. So as I get back from break, we are going to dive into specifically the sower and the seed, both in Mark chapter 4 and in Luke chapter 8. And we're going to take some time, uncover this, and I'm hoping that today's session is going to bless your socks off. That's if you are wearing socks. And so as we head into break, I'll be right back. You can find out more information about what I do, both as an attorney and as a man of God. You can head over to legacyandfaith.com, where there's past podcasts. where there's upcoming educational seminars about estate planning as a whole and ways to get in contact with me. So head over to legacyandfaith.com and I'll be right back. Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Many families realize that with the passing of each generation, their family legacy is disappearing and they're feeling regret. To alleviate this heartache, Memories Worth Telling writes their family story and creates a beautiful heirloom book to preserve their unique history. Go to memorieswordtelling.com to schedule your initial consultation and learn how they can capture your legacy. Once again, that's memorieswordtelling.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
And welcome back on the Legacy and Faith Show. Here today we are talking more about the faith aspect than we are about the legacy aspect. And so I want to crack open. We are in Mark chapter 4 and Luke chapter 8, the parable of the sower and the seed. And I think this is probably a very common parable that most people know, so I'm not going to read it out. But we understand that there's four different stages that the word matures in our hearts. Now, the first thing I want to talk about is that this is relevant to any and every area of our faith journey. And so if we are struggling in any aspect, so we could look at God's word and we can see promises that God heals and that God is in the miracle business even today. And so that he heals people, he provides for our needs when we have financial needs. He is the giver of peace. So he protects our minds and he protects our hearts with peace. He's in the relationship business of restoring relationships. So I don't know where you are at in your life today, but the parable of the sower and the seed is that if I ever encounter a time when I need to turn my faith towards God and say, God, I am weak in this area, or I need a miracle in this area, I need something to take place in my life that, and it will only happen if you show up for me, God, how do I set myself to be in a place where I can expect and receive that miracle that I'm hoping for? Now, I believe that the parable of the sower and the seed is the journey that all of us need to walk through in order to receive our miracle. So what are you believing God for today? Is it something that has just happened in your life, and so all of a sudden you have a new incident, a new situation that is staring you in the face, and you say, I need something new from God? Well, then this word is specifically for you, because we got to build up the promises of God in our heart, and our faith expectation needs to be increased. We do it through the parable of the sower and the seed. Or is it something that you've been believing God for a longer period of time, and maybe your heart is growing weary that God may never actually come through for me? I might never see the promise. I might never see the miracle. Well, then I'm going to encourage you to come back to a place of safety through the parable of the sower and the seed and build yourself up in the most holy faith in order to receive God's powerful promises and watch the word of God come into life to you again. So we understand, number one, if we get to the end of the parable of the sower and the seed in Mark 4, Jesus talks about that the kingdom of God is as if a man should cast seed into the ground. Now, we know that Jesus already defined what the seed is. That is, and we already know what the definition of the soil is. So the ground is our heart, and the seed is the word of God. So number one, we need to make sure that our heart is prepared to receive the seed, that our heart is in a position to where we would say, I am willing to receive what God's answer is in my life. So are we looking at the ways of the world all the time? Are we trained in our thought process, in our faith system that says, I'm going to turn to what other people are talking about. I'm going to turn to social media. I'm going to turn to the news on the TV. I'm going to turn to my way of thinking because this has been my experience. Well, may I tell you that your experience does not counteract God's word. We need to always be about what does God's word say in my circumstance, and then humble ourselves and say, Holy Spirit, help me to raise my faith level so that I can expect God's word to manifest itself in my life. That is God's miracle coming to pass. And so, number one, if we have a stony heart towards the issues of God, which is the first place where the seed is actually thrown in both of these parables, which is if our hearts are just beaten down and heavy trodden. In other words, we've just allowed the ways of the world to become the place of our heart, then there's no place where God's word can come and actually plant itself to grow. So number one, sometimes we got to till the land. We need to humble ourselves. Maybe you need to repent and say, I have lost faith that your word says this, and I've lost faith that it will actually produce, that you'll actually come through to me. It's okay. We're all there in different areas. As a matter of fact, I've never met one single Christian, no matter how mature they are, that has perfect faith in actually every area of their life. We're all on a journey of faith. And so it's good that we can recognize, I'm not so sure that I trust God in that area anymore. It's all right. God's not offended. He hasn't left you. Remember, he radically loves you and he wants the opportunity to come in and show you how to actually bring forth the fullness, the 30, 60, 100-fold of his promise in your life. And sometimes it takes a new tilling of God's word because the heart of man needs to be ready to receive the word of God. So if you're not ready to receive, that would be step one, number one. Number two is that if your heart is at a place to where I can receive God's word and I get excited about it, but then I lose my excitement rather quickly, well, then we're in stage number two. And it's okay. We just need to go back and we need to focus a little bit more on the stability of God's promises are going to be there for me no matter how I feel. See, that second part to where it springs up quickly is all about emotion. I feel engaged with God, or some days I don't feel engaged with God. So when I don't feel engaged with him, I lose faith and I lose hope. Well, your emotion is really intended to create an environment so that you understand what faith feels like. See, Peter got out on the boat and he walked on water. We often look at that he failed because he sunk, but instead of really what I believe is that that was a momentous change in Peter's faith level that says, I know what faith feels like because I walked on water. Yeah, I know I didn't make it to the ultimate place I was destined for, but I know what faith feels like. Your emotions are there to assist you. You've been created in the image of God. Your emotions are not a detriment. They are to assist you to understand what does it feel like to be in faith. But if we only use our emotions as the barometer of our faith, that's where we get in trouble. That's where it springs up and it springs down. It springs up and it springs down. We need to have our faith stabilized by God's word, regardless of how I wake up in the morning. And then we get into stage number three. Stage number three is where we have both the toils of weeds or the toils of this world, and we also are seeing fruit. As a matter of fact, I think most of us are really right there, which is that I see God move here and I see him move there, but the truth is that I'm so engaged in this world. I'm building my 401k. I'm building my investments, and I'm really trusting in myself as much, if not more, than what I'm really trusting in God with. And I want to take that next step. Well, how do we take that next step? Well, in Luke, it says that the cares of and the riches of this world, that it actually does not allow faith to have its perfect way. Rather, if it falls on good ground, when the word falls in good ground, we're to protect it. So having an honest and good heart, having heard the word, they keep it. So there is a necessity of us continually looking at God's word, allowing it and holding it firmly that says, I am not going to move away. I'm not going to get emotional about this. I'm going to hold it. I'm going to hold fast to the word of God. And I'm going to allow the word of God to come to full maturity so that when it's at full maturity, I will see the fullness of God's fruit and the fullness of his majesty and his miracle breakthrough in my life. So where are you along your faith journey? We're at all different places with all different things. My encouragement is go back, break up that ground in your heart, allow the word to come into you and hold on to it so that full maturity can come forth. God's miracle is at hand. And I want to encourage you today, don't give up hope and don't let your heart become weary in well-doing. I hope today's message was encouraging to you. Thank you for joining the Legacy and Faith Show today. Head over to my website for more information about what we do. And thank you for joining me. Head over to legacyandfaith.com. Have a blessed, wonderful day.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.